Galatians chapter 4, and you find your text there, and then Romans chapter 8. Thank you, Teresa. At the feet of our Lord Jesus, we need to be found right there. Galatians 4, we'll begin reading in a moment in verse number 3 and read through verse 7. This afternoon from 1 to 3, just here on our campus down Olive Road, Bethany Christian Ministries having their grand opening, their celebration, their dedication at 1:30. They are becoming a partner with us in our ministry village, and I hope that you will go by there, and I'll explain a little bit more about that this morning. In Galatians 4, beginning in verse 3, you follow as I read through verse number 7. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And then in the book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning in verse number 12, we find the Apostle Paul writing again about this adoption. Romans 8, 12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption. You have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. In a large northeastern city, in the early 1900s, lived a Mr. and Mrs. Lowry. And up and down their street came a little orphan boy. He sold newspapers on the street. And he would see the Lowry's palatial home. Beautiful carpet of grass, large pillars out front. And one day the little orphan boy just decided to take courage. And he walked up to the door, and Mr. Lowry came. The little orphan looked up at him and said, Sir, do you have a little boy? He said, No. He said, Sir, would you like to have a little boy? He chuckled. He said, Sir, I would give everything I have to live in a house like this. He talked to Mrs. Lowry that day. Adoption law then was not like it is now. And they took that little fella in and adopted him. And when he came in and looked around in that palatial house and could not wait to put his feet in the carpet of that grass, he dug down in his pocket and opened his fist with 13 cents. He said, Sir, I told you I would give everything I have to live here. This is all I've got, and I give it to you. Mr. Lowry said to the little boy, Son, put your money back in your pocket. I have enough to take care of all of us. That is the spirit of adoption. Adoption is when sufficiency meets insufficiency, and sufficiency receives the insufficiency and counts that one as a part of their family. It is the spirit of adoption. We find it three times in Scripture where people have been adopted. Moses was adopted into Pharaoh's house. Jenobath, you don't know Jenobath. You've never studied Jenobath in 1 Kings chapter 11, was adopted. But you know Esther, and she was adopted by Mordecai, her uncle, and was for such a time as that. We find adoption through Scripture. And in the Bible, as we've read it this morning, adoption serves as a primary analogy of salvation. Now, don't miss it. The sinner who, prior to faith in Christ, is a rebel headed for destruction is now adopted as a child of God. By grace, the rebel child of the enemy is adopted as a child of the King. The former slave to sin is now a son or a daughter to the heavenly Father. Paul says it to the church at Galatia. He says it to the church at Rome. We have been received as sons and daughters by adoption. In regeneration, we find our spiritual life. In justification, we find our standing before God's law. But in adoption, we find our relationship with God as our Father, as he said in John 1 in verse number 12, that as many as believed and received him, to them gave he the right and the power to become what? The sons or the children of God. I was adopted when I was 10 years old. No, my mother and father did not disown me and leave me. That's an earthly adoption. And there is application from this text for it. But when I was 10 years old, I was an orphan to sin, a rebel headed for destruction. And I came to God and said, I'd give everything I've got to live in your house. And God said, come. And I said, here. He said, keep what you've got. It is not sufficient. I have enough for all of us. And the Lord adopted me when he saved me, when he justified me. When I was regenerate, he brought me into the family of God. Now the word adoption right here, I don't want you to miss this. In Romans chapter 8, the word adoption, I think Paul made this word up. You don't find this word very much. The word adoption is the word huophysia. Now you say, well, that doesn't mean anything to me. Well, keep listening. It will in a minute. Huo is the word for son. Now, it's not the Greek word technia, which is the word for a little boy like Josiah sitting here. It's not like a little boy. He's a technia. That's the Greek word for a little boy, a little son. But this word huos or huo means to be a son, and it's applied most of the time to Jesus as the Son of God, as the huos of theos, the God's Son. And here the first part of the word adoption is the word huos, which is the word son, and the backside of that word, which is thesia, T-H-E-S-I-A, we get our word thesis out of that word. What this is the word thesis and son put together. Now, when you give a thesis, you put forth a truth. You give a thesis on global warming. You give a thesis on American economy. You give a thesis on health care. That is, you got an idea and you push it forth. You have a thesis and you bring facts and you put it forth. That's this word. You put those two words together. And adoption means placing forth as a son. That's what God does for us when he saves us and adopts us, is that he puts us forth as a son. That's what mamas and daddies do when they find an orphan that does not have a mom and daddy. They take them in and they put them forth as a son. They treat them just like a son or a daughter that was naturally born to them. They put them forth as a son. That's what God did for me in Christ. That's what he'll do for you when you come to him by faith and say, Lord, I want to know you. He will adopt you, and he puts you forth as a son. Now there's five benefits to being adopted by God. Now, I want to show them to you out of Romans 8 today. Just look at these in a hurry. All of this is I'm headed to one point today that I want you to think about. Five things I want you to see. When you are adopted, look at it in Romans chapter 8. Number one, when you are adopted as a child of God, then we can speak to the Father. When you become adopted, you can speak to the Father. Look in verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. There's exclamation points after those words. We cry out. That word Abba, best translated for us, is the word dad or daddy. It's an intimate word. My children say that to me, Daddy, I love you. Oftentimes they want something, but other times it's just because they do. Daddy. Hey, when I hear that word daddy, it turns my head. Do you know that there's some folks scared, they're just scared to death of God. They can't even talk to him. Let me tell you, when you've been adopted, you can speak to the Father. Why? Because 1 John 3:1 says he loves you. Psalm 103 verses 13 and 14 says, listen to this. He understands you. Bless God. He knows all the intricate detail of your life. He understands you. And Matthew 6:32 says he cares for you. And Matthew 7:11 says he gives great gifts to you. Every daddy's a gift giver. He ain't a daddy. If you're a father, you're going to give. And give and give and give some more. You're going to give out after a while, but you'll keep giving. The Father cares for you. And he loves you and he understands you. And you can talk. When you've been adopted, you can talk to him. I have people in this church from time to time say, well, you know, I'd love to talk to the pastor, but I can't. Well, number one, that's a lie from hell. You call, but I'm here, you can't come see me just anytime. No more than I can come see you anytime, because we've all got a busy schedule and things to do. But there are two people on planet Earth that anytime I am in my office, they can walk in unannounced and nobody can stop them. My administrative assistant knows that, and if Rachel or Bennett come to my office, they just knock on the door, they can walk right in. If the mayor of Pensacola is in my office, he'll be asked to step out. Why? Because one of my children has come to talk, and they can talk to their daddy any time. So when I preach, if I was in there, yes, if you were in there, you'd leave too. Because I'm here to tell you, there is no greater relationship than a father to the children. So, your kids ever done that? Bennett tried me once. And we did it. See, if your door's already open, they know they can talk to you anytime. They don't have to interrupt you. They can just get you when they want you. But understand, friend, if you've been adopted, you can talk to God. You don't have to have some priest or bishop or somebody else talk for you. Just go straight to the Father and pour your heart out. It's one of the elements of adoption. You can talk to the Father. Number two, you got to listen in a hurry because we're headed somewhere with all this. As adopted children, we can speak to the Father. Number two, as adopted children, we are led by the Holy Spirit. Look at it in verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You see, a daddy has a spirit about him. And in the earthly realm, that spirit leads his children. Let me tell you, the Father above, his Holy Spirit is in us and he leads us. And if you're adopted as his children, not only can you speak to him, but he will lead you by his Holy Spirit. Number three, we as adopted children have a family. Look in verse number 12. It says, so then, brethren, or it could say sisters, or both. We are under our obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. You see, we have a family. We're brothers and sisters. Look around you today. If these people around you are saved and they've been adopted, John's my brother. Robert's my brother. We are together in the greatest family on this planet. And one day we're going to a new place we've been singing about today, eternal in the heavens. Why? Because it's Beulah. That word Beulah in the Hebrew means married. Only time it's ever found in all the Bibles where Leo read it in Isaiah this morning. And the singer that did and wrote the song made a gazillion dollars on one word of the Word of God. He did. Boy, he's good too. Beulah land. See, when you go, you're not married to somebody down here. That's my wife's favorite verse in all the Word of God. You're just married to the Lord. We'll be known as we're, but we have a family. And we're all together. Now, friends, if we're adopted, we got to get in this together. As siblings, we got to look after each other. Amen. I mean, we care for one another and we exhort one another and we call one another out and we build one another up. As adopted kids, we speak to the Father. We're led by the Spirit. We have a family. Number four, we know life change and discipline. Yes, we do. Because you were adopted, verse 13, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. That's the life change. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You see, when you become adopted children, then there's life change and discipline, and you die to the flesh and you live to the Holy Ghost of God. Now, if you don't want to be God's child, just keep on living in the flesh. But if you come to the Lord and he adopts you, you'll know life change. And number five, look at this. Well, we've been singing about it all morning. As adopted children, we also have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. Look at it in verse number 17. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Heirs. God's left us an inheritance. Amen. I'm an only child of my mother and daddy. I was talking to a guy that takes care of their finances. And a few years ago, my mother bought an insurance policy. And I've talked to the guy about it three or four different times. And the fellow that's now taking his business called me the other day. And I said, you tell him. I really appreciate him. We pray for him. Hope he's doing well. But I'm telling you, if he threw us a curveball with his life insurance policy, I'm going to kill him. He said, what are you talking? I said, that's my inheritance we're messing with right there. All right? He laughed. I laughed. We chuckle about our inheritance and we talk to them here. You know, there's a lot of baby boomers, my folks, my age. All this great wealth transfer, over $1 trillion. I tell you, friend, a lot of that wealth transfer is gone because of the financial crisis. Matter of fact, it doesn't look like a financial crisis to me. It smells more like judgment to me than does anything else. It smells like judgment on our culture. What God's trying to get us to do is stop looking to our parents for an inheritance and look to our Heavenly Father for an inheritance. And let me tell you, there's an inheritance to adopted kids that nothing can take away. Amen. Yes, sir. He leaves us an inheritance. Now, I want you to think with me about adoption, not on a heavenly plane. I want you to think with me about adoption on an earthly plane. How many people in this room have either adopted children or you are an adopted child? Would you just lift your hand? Boy, a lot of folks all across here. Amen. Thank you. Now, Olive, I want to challenge you with something this morning. We've got to think about adoption. It's not just for couples who can't have children. Now, I'm going to talk to you about adoption for just a few minutes this morning on an earthly level. But before I do, I want you to settle in your seat for 3 minutes, and I want you to watch this video that I captured this week, found that a gentleman from Southern Seminary has put together. And then I want us to come back to this text and conclude thinking of earthly adoption in light of heavenly adoption. Sharon, let's see this video. Rejoice in our heavenly adoption. And yet there are millions who do not have a home. What is our role in speaking up, as Isaiah 1:16 says in verse 17, speaking for the fatherless, defending the fatherless. What is our role? Number one, our role is mission. This was in Africa, but I could take you to Romania. Some of our team will soon be in Mexico. And take you around the world to orphanages like the one you just watched. Mission. Mission is there. Not only mission, but support for others who adopt. Our own community has been the spotlight, if not national, international news, with the murder of a couple that was in the adoption business. No matter how you looked at that story, and there are several ways to view it, it was hard to get your eyes off those children seated around them in those pictures. Support. Encouraging other families that want to adopt and will adopt. Again, adoption is not just for men and women who can't have children. Adoption is mission. Then there are some people in this room today that God will prick your heart to say, in our family, we need to adopt. Adoption is not for everyone. It is not for everyone in this church to do. But if anyone in this church does, it is for all of us to be supportive of them when they make that choice. To encourage them and love them and help them in what is a very hard situation. Bethany Ministries on our campus deals with adoption nationally as well as internationally. If you have interest in adoption or helping in the ministry of adoption, you could come this afternoon or stop by anytime they're open. That's down here in the old missionary house. Talk with their people and see how you can give, how you can support, how you can work, and maybe how you can adopt. My uncle Don, he's my favorite uncle. He was the baby in my mother's family. He was older than I was chronologically, but he was the uncle that was not much older than I was with maturation. He was as childish as I was. And boy, did we have fun when I went to Uncle Don's house. He's almost 70 now, and I still have fun when I go to Uncle Don's house. I'll visit everybody else, but then save Uncle Don for last because you're going to have fun when you go there. They have a son by the name of Steve, and Steve and I, God bless him, look a whole lot alike. Thank you, Chuck. I'll let you know when I need that. But then they decided that they would adopt. And they did. And it was hell to pay. Their adopted daughter that we all loved had rebellion in her heart. She now has two children. One an interracial child. One's named Ross. And now at Uncle Don's house, he's adopted for the second time. He's adopted his grandson. My father and my uncle will take little Ross fishing. Mother says he ought to be whipped within an inch of his life. But all he wants to do is drive the boat fast. He rips up and down the river. But where would Ross be? Ross would be walking up and down the street with 13 cents in his hand. But Uncle Don said, if you'll let us have him, we'll raise him. Now, a 70-year-old man doesn't need a preschooler. But his heart needed it. And so they love Ross. It's not always in an African or a Mexican or a Hispanic or a Romanian or a Kazakh orphanage. Sometimes it's right next door. Sometimes it is a Florida Baptist children's home. Sometimes it's at Bethany Ministries, where God turns your heart to say, I will put forth one as my son. Now, there's two things I want us to decide today. Number one, I want you to settle for all eternity that you have been adopted of the Lord, that you've been saved and regenerated and justified, and that God's received you as a child, and you've said, Lord, yes, I believe. I believe. And you've believed on the name of the Lord Jesus. And you've trusted him. Come to faith in Christ. I want to ask you to do something for me right now. There's just been people running around everywhere in this building in the last 15 minutes while I've been trying to preach. If you can't preach over that, you're not even called of God. But I want to ask you to give me these next 3 minutes and sit still in your seat. See, when people go, sometimes it's emergency, and amen, I'm not saying you can't get up and go, but I'm just telling you right now, there's a spirit that people just move in everywhere. And what that does is it begins to shuffle people's spirit that are trying to do eternal business with the Lord. So I'm asking you just to hold on for a moment with me. Can you do that? Somebody needs to settle your eternity. Then number two, there are some people here that need to decide adoption is for us. It's not for everybody. I mean, you can just always know that if that happens at the pastor's house, God has done an absolute Old Testament proportion miracle in my wife's life. But for some, God puts that in your heart. And I want us today as a church to decide, we're going to draw a line and say, those that adopt have got a place here. We're going to help them here. We're going to encourage them here. We're going to be partners to them. Why? Because we're brothers and sisters if we've all been adopted into God's family. When we sing this song in a moment, if you're here today and have never trusted Christ, you come. If you're here today and you've got a burden about your family, you come. And if you were born into a family where you had a mama and a daddy that loved you, you ought to give thanks unto God today. I mean, you ought to bless his name. It's not that way for everybody. Say, well, my mom and daddy wasn't perfect. Well, I understand that part. There are none of those. But if they loved you and disciplined you and made you come to church and whipped you behind when you needed, thank God for them. If your daddy rubbed you on the head and took you fishing a time or two, thank God for him. If your mama wept tears over you, thank God for her. If your mama ever kissed you on the cheek and said, I love you, thank God for her today. Everybody doesn't get that. Be grateful. Be grateful if God that adopted you placed you in a family that was good. If you've got a broken heart today, come to this altar and pour that before God. And let the Lord put forth you as a son. Father, thank you today for the spirit of adoption. Lord, let it prevail in this place called Olive. That we'd say to whosoever want to come to you, that you'd receive, that we'd receive. We'd love them and help them. God, to have your way. Save the lost, build the church, and confirm adoption in somebody's heart today. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.